Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Alright, anyway, on the website, I have done a little bit of work. Just another category, the other dissidents, and I'll do a little brief statement about the different other people who recognize that conventional physics is silly and stupid, or something like that. Has some gaps in it. It has some stuff you could pick at that maybe isn't the right answer. Maybe is a little, you know, just made up, all that kind of crap. But there's obviously no coherency between any of them because they all have some competing notion of reality. And none of them agree on just about anything, and it's all not so good. I mean, it harms all of our credibilities that there can be such a variety of counter-explanations or... it's not even that. It's just that some of them are just as unreasonable as conventional physics, and that they're stuck with their axioms. They want to prove their God. And it's about all it comes down to. They're all crippled by, in my opinion, ether theory has just ruined people's ability to do any kind of reasoning. I mean, this obligation that the universe must be made out of all somethings and there can't be anything called a nothing is just really stupid. But anyway. So if anybody wishes to add, help, whatever, there are quite a lot of different people doing experiments based on some kind of notion that they don't agree with the Big Bang or they don't agree with relativity. Now, the weird part is I can't find any who dispute the kinetic energy formula, which is so obviously crappy physics. I mean, it's just such bad science. And none of them are arguing against it, which is really none that I can find. Which just is telling that, yes, although I have to be included as part of this group or this set, I really don't belong in this set because I have unique characteristics that I don't share with any of these people. So that's to my benefit, I would argue. So I at least escape just being another one of the religions attempting to overtake the current religion kind of thing. So anyway, so there's that. There was a couple of comments that are just, whatever. All right, so what is your definition of a photon? These people who need this kind of, put it in as few words as possible. Why? Obviously, I've described it as an event. So a photon isn't a thing. It's an event. And events are, I guess you could argue, made of the process of an event. And so events are made out of events. So it's a collection of events, okay, is a photon. And clearly the frequency that we recognize or we label the photon by, whether it's red or blue, color... and then again, frequency, just from radio waves to, cosmic or gamma radiation, you're clearly making a distinction based on, a character that the photon can have. And so a high-frequency photon, the event takes place with a higher frequency, the sub-event, okay, of the impact of momentum. So I've clearly argued that a photon is made... All right. If you say the constituent parts are little bits of momentum in the universe, they have a specific frequency and a polarization in space. They impact a certain number of atomic structure, and when they hit that structure, they cause electricity. That's a photon. So it's a defined amount of momentum. Coming at a frequency, all right, that causes events to take place in matter. Whether it's going to be reflected or whether it's going to be what we call absorbed or whether it's going to be transmitted, what's really happening is it's the little bits get reflected, some of them. Some of them might get transmitted. Some of them might just be absorbed as heat. They'll all have different densities. And if it's somewhere in that package you retain an event of sequence, that is the frequency, and hit over a certain location, then you have a photon. But, you know, trying to isolate it into two words or 10 words is kind of cheating the physics because, as I'll talk about in part of the other subject I have, there's so much more complexity to the systems, that you can't, the reductionism, turning it into black and white when it's a color image, you can't really do that and get away with it. And so if you want to understand the physics of a photon, you can't break it into some sort of, it's just this thing, and it hits a square thing. It's not round peg, square hole kind of simple. It's obviously the mechanics of the universe are built out of, in the tiny space in which a photon, the event of a photon takes place, there are literally, at least thousands of atoms and perhaps, tens of thousands of electrons and protons. It's a complex system. It's not just the photon hits one thing, the end, subject over. It doesn't happen that simply. All right. So the other guy says, brilliant, love your clarity, simplicity, and insight. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, clearly, the electric boom gets, the two opposite kind of reactions. But it's just so disappointing. That video is still very irritating to me that there was a real controversy, and just because it got politically uncomfortable, in terms of, I'm beating up on an old man, he had to just pussy out. And it's just still so irritating. Anyway, everything's getting irritating. I mean, Veritasium just did another antics video. He does his little, I'll get in the car and drive the flimsy car. And now he did some stupid, he rented a helicopter to point out an experiment you could do with a piece of string in your hand. it's not that complicated. Just bullshit theater, fuck the physics, make it just antics, produce it. Eugh. Anyway, a show, it's the physics show. Ugh, it's disgusting. Why so many dislikes? It's clearly the correct explanation. Yeah, you could take that comment 15 different ways. So I looked up this guy, and so he's, 7 views on his videos. I mean, it is kind of pathetic. And he does make he's kind of a character, eccentric. Australian, I believe, from the accent. But he actually made a good video about just describing his understanding of string theory and different things, and he did very well. And so that's kind of funny. But yes, no visibility at all. I mean, year-old video, 7 views. I mean, there's just no, it just demonstrates how useless it is to publish on the Google net, because Google doesn't want you to see all of this other stuff that's out there. It just wants to promote the stuff that has lots of Google ads on it, and Google makes money. And it's so clear that that's going on, and it's so disappointing, again, that so many people just find that acceptable, that the internet is being censored overtly. The whole idea that they show you a specific internet based on identifying you and identifying on what you've clicked on is so offensive in a way. I mean, if Microsoft had dug into your behavior and viewed it and played a game with it like this, you all would have gone crazy. But somehow Google can get away with it. Why? What's the difference? Why is this corporation so fucking sacred? I mean, it scammed you right from the beginning. It gave it away, the service, for free to destroy all of the other players, because all of them had to pay bills, and Google didn't, because it got a bunch of venture capital, because they knew they were going to spring the trap, the money trap. So for 2 years, they gave you something for free for only the purpose of destroying all competition to become a monopoly. And then they could do whatever the fuck they want. I mean, they played the worst kind of capitalist game on you. And you should resent them just for that. Anyway, it's just so disappointing. So anyway, to the subject of the video. Yes, yeah, so the Pharaoh cell, as I did 5 years ago, whatever it was, you know, looking under a microscope, you see what the hell the things are doing. You realize this is all just a gimmick. It's just all an illusion. It has nothing to do with analyzing magnetism. So, yes, my explanation is correct. It was correct. It's not as detailed as I'd like. I'd like to be able to explain every single refraction off of every single little bit and all of that crap. But the general principle that it's just light reflecting off a weird surface. And you could even understand it. Like I said, if I did it with iron filings, let's say that were coated in chrome, and then I put the iron filings, you know, put a magnet on, put the iron filings on a flat surface, and then I, you know, really obscured how the light would reflect off of them, you could imagine it would create patterns, okay, quite easily that wouldn't be what you would expect because of the surface you're looking at. See, I sort of understand some of that from, you know, I do paint some. I haven't done anything recently, but I do. And if you take your painting, you know, if you're painting something and you turn it, you know, and look at it at different scant angles, you see so much more, okay? And the ancient painters knew this because they hid little secret paintings in the painting. You know, you tilt the painting of the king at an angle and it says, you know, fucktard, you know, something like that, you know. So, It's just that simple. So when you're getting fooled by a pharaoh cell, you're really just, you know, it's really saying fucktard to you. You know, Ken Wheeler is a fucktard. That's what it's saying. All right. So I guess we'll just do my subjects now. What's been on, what I've thought of. And these aren't worth independent videos yet. They're just observations, just thoughts. So one of them was the real speed. Okay, talking about the speed of light. Okay, so and how it wouldn't matter. Like, light seems like it's moving really fast, but why does it seem like it's moving really, really fast? Well, it seems like it's moving really fast because we're moving really, really slow. So the fact is that anything complex has to be made out of these elements. So I could say here's A and B, and you know, you could think of the speed of light, of getting from point A to point B, and wow, light does that so fast. It doesn't really do it fast. The fact is that for us to see it, just to even comprehend the event, we're doing a million of these voyages, right? So our brain has to do a billion even. You know, it has to do a billion A to B trips to even perceive. Okay, so all of this has to happen inside of our brain. So just imagine this is 1 billion times, okay, this distance. That's what our brain has to do to, you know, to measure A to B. I don't know why it says C. But to measure that, we have to do all of this. So quite obviously, this seems really fast because look how much we had to do, right? So it's just a size thing. You also say, oh, we're this certain size. And the light is a much tinier little, you know, thing. And so if we were able to shrink ourselves to the size of light, but keep our brain, okay, with all of its function, you know, it would seem a lot of a longer voyage when light goes from, you know, the 1 inch. Okay, that would seem like a much longer voyage because of the mere fact that we've changed our size, right? So if I put you in the real world and you had to go to the store, but you were only the size of an atom, that voyage would appear to be going across the universe to us. You know, relatively speaking, just the size difference makes everything appear like it happens very fast. So clearly the A to B looks, you know, from the photon's perspective, could look like, wow, I traveled 10 gazillion miles in that 1 inch. To them, that's a huge universe. You know, where to us, it seems like an insignificantly small amount of distance. It's really a huge amount of distance if we had to look at it from the perspective of an electron. So from the electron's perspective, if it had a brain and could do all this processing, you know, independent of physics, you know, it could cheat the physics. That is, it could have a fundamental process that moved faster than the elemental process it was viewing. It would view the elemental process as being very slow, like photons are using walkers. You know, they're really slow. They just hop, 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 hop. You know, they're taking forever to get from one point to another. So it's not really a relativity argument, but in some sense, you have to understand that our complexity means that no matter what the speed of light really is, no matter, you know, we could make it as slow as a glacier moving, we could make it any speed, and it wouldn't matter because we'd always see it as being insanely fast because we have to do 1 billion A to B trips to view an A to B trip. So it's always going to look like it's insanely fast if we're going to be made out of the very process of stuff moving the speed of light to create a complex conscious perception of time and distance. So that's all. It's just, it doesn't matter is the point. The point is you could go infinitely in either direction and it would always look like the speed of light to us because it's the speed of a process and the process, okay, of, we're made of a whole bunch of that process. So it's always going to seem like one process is insanely fast because we need a billion of them to comprehend a second. All right. So that's, it's not, you know, nothing miraculous there, but it's just an important contextual thing to understand. Basic mechanics, that there's nothing special about time. It's just a function of the number of events. So more events, more time. And that's all there really is to that story. All right. So the other subject, which I thought was interesting. Oh, I erased it. Good. Yeah, how about it? Yeah, I remember it. Okay. Oh, it's not really damp enough. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's close enough. All right, so the other subject that I thought, it occurred to me. So there is a Professor Lewin video that I liked, and it's in the sense it was just an interesting, cheap experiment. So what he does is he creates a charged surface, okay, that recharges, that stays charged, and say it's got 1,000 volts on it. And he picks up some charge, charges something, okay, a plate. I can't remember what they call this thing, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. So instead of a plate, no, he's using a spoon. So he uses a spoon, I think. So it doesn't matter. He just hits the object, hits the charged surface. Okay, so there's a bunch of, you know, negative charge on the surface. He'll make this negatively charged, and then he just places it inside the bucket, taps the bucket, and he just repeats this process over and over. And what happens is the voltage on the outside of the bucket gets higher and higher and higher. So you can get 100,000 volts on this bucket on the outside of the bucket. So it's kind of like the Venn diagram machine, except that's a more complex thing. But it's basically doing the same thing. It's creating a bucket, you know, and it's putting charge on the inside, and the charge ends up going the opposite on the outside. Okay, and so it doesn't appear to be any measurable charge in there, but there's plenty of charge in there, frankly, because it's created all of this positive charge on the outside. So it's basically the same thing. So I was thinking about electric circuits, and doing this electrically, and you have to be careful how you do it electrically. And so that's where some of the Tesla stuff comes in. Because I don't know exactly how Tesla understood it or whether he just fell upon it. You know, who knows what Tesla actually knew and what Tesla, you know, was just somebody who observed certain phenomenon, and whether he could explain them or not, who knows. So the idea of a spark gap, using a spark gap, okay, to charge something, you know, to put energy into a coil or some other thing. And the idea is that the advantage of the spark gap is there's no going back. The electricity goes one way. You jump the gap, okay, and there's no back. There's no, so like say if I have a voltage and I think, you know, it's a voltage that I think's on and off. It's not really on and off if it goes to ground. So if it has a ground in it, that is, if it's doing this, a square wave, what it's really doing, it's, you know, it's really not pulsed DC, because what it's really doing is it's got 10 volts here, let's say, and then it has an actual 0 volts. And these are just relative numbers. This could be really 30 volts here, and this could be 40, you know, and you have a 10 difference. So the fact that this is here, okay, means that you've really got alternating current. So as much as it looks like it's DC, like, oh, it's 10 volts, then 10 volts, then 10 volts, and this is 0 volts, you know, so there's no voltage there. No, there's an actual voltage there, and what you're really doing is you're doing the pulsing, you're doing the alternator thing, which you're actually pushing 10, and then you're literally pushing it back, minus 10, and then you go plus 10 again, and then you go back 10. So you're really pulling and pushing. So the electricity is actually doing this. So the electrons are actually going forward, you know, and then they are moving literally back again, and then they're moving here again. So they're not really making any forward progress. They're just going back and forth. So this is the technical, you know, AC versus DC. This should be a very technical description. And one should be explicitly AC in the sense that you really understand you're pushing and then pulling it back versus pushing it and that's it. There's no pulling it back. So that's sort of where the bucket comes in, because the bucket is basically saying I'm going to put voltage in, but I'm not going to give it any way to get to ground. So I'm not going to pull the electrons back out again. I'm not going to put electrons in and then pull electrons back out and push electrons in and push them back out again. So that's why diodes get into this subject of high voltage, is because the diode gives you the, you know, the ability to move electricity in one direction. But the fact is diodes do leak. So, you know, you push it in, and then if you allow it to be grounded, the circuit has a, you know, you're going back to a real zero. Not a, see, there's a difference between 0 volts and no volts. 0 volts versus no volts, no voltage. So, you know, a real pulse DC would just be 10 volts and no way back. 10 volts, no way back. 10 volts, no way back. So you really do, that's why you really do need a spark gap in some cases. You really do need a physical way to prevent the electricity from, you know, go this way and then coming back, this leaking back, the electrons leaking back into the system. You need some way to prevent them from leaking back. So I was thinking about different mechanisms, you know, so you could have pulsed DC, but the idea would be is to have a pulse in the real sense of like an actual wire on a circuit, you know, that spins, and the wire hits the surface, 10 volts in, no way out. 10 volts in, no way, you know, it would just bang into the surface, and as it bangs, you know, it'll put in 10 volts, and the electrons can't leave. So inside the bucket, you know, instead of physically putting the electricity in, you could take some kind of, you just make a system, okay, that doesn't allow the voltage to come back. And that's basically what the Tesla coil does, again, with the spark gap, is prevent the electrons from going the opposite way. It's like a, It's like a it's a diode. It allows it to go one way, it doesn't go back the other way. Yeah, partially anyway. All right, I guess I do need, I don't know if I need to go further into this subject. It just occurs to me different ways of mechanically creating. I mean, I like to do some high voltage experiments, but I really don't want to do high voltage transformers and all of that kind of crap. I want to do the static electricity kind of high voltage experiments where you just need a limited amount of current, you know, just to do some, you know, how, what's the magnetic effect, blah, blah, blah. Eventually. I want to do experiments eventually, but, you know, I really don't want to do them, actually. I want somebody else to do them. But anyway, so the idea is, I'm just thinking about the idea of how much voltage you can create by creating a surface, you know, like a Vandegraaff, and put it, you know, isolate it, take out some of, at least some of the air, you know, to get rid of the fact that the it will leak its voltage through the air. So the less dense the air is, the less likely of leaking your voltage. You know, that should be able, you should be able to create some kind of interesting effects that way. So anyway, so the idea will be is just to have some simple little, you know, alternating current and just make sure, you know, because you've converted it into something that only pulses. So you take a regular, you know, 10 volts of DC, clean DC, and you just break it, you know, mechanically. Just make a mechanical system that only allows the 10 volts in and doesn't allow the 10 volts out. 10 volts in, 10 volts in, 10 volts in, but no ground, no signal going to ground. Because that's the problem with pulsed DC, is that it's really pulsed, it's really AC. It's not really DC current. It's really not broken here, 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 here. This is ground, this is ground, this is ground, and ground is really a pressure. And it's just basically saying electrons move back. So it's AC, because it's alternating really has to just mean switching back and forth. Well, anyway, so yeah, that's enough. I don't need to go into that in any more detail, I don't think. There was some other subject this related to, and I can't think exactly of what it was. But it really just has to do with that whole idea that, you know, in the physical universe, you can do things where you cause an event, and then you just undo the event, in the sense the universe ends up being the same again. So you just end up going from this universe to this universe, and everything in between is lost. Yeah, you know, there's no real change in the universe, because you just look at it at this time, piece of time, and it's the same as it was before, versus having energy that actually pushes something forward and actually moves it to a point B and really changes the universe. I mean, going back and forth in a little location doesn't mean much. Moving something from one location to another, that'll mean something in the universe. And that's why moving electrons are associated by the simple-minded with magnetism, as if the movement is causing the magnetism, when it's really just the fact that you're moving an actual field in space, and because you didn't move it back, now it's a real field. Now it's really moving. It's not just sitting in one place. It's a moving wave, not a static wave. Some, I don't know, probably some way to say it that you would understand, but doesn't really matter as stated. Now, where is the bottom to this? The cover. It should be right there, and it's not. Well, anyway, it's not your problem, but I don't remember hearing it drop. I mean, I've done this before. I can't find it, and it's not your problem, as stated, but it's just weird how certain things in the universe evade your brain that monitors everything. You know, we're so aware of so much stuff. We have so many different agendas. You know, I know what I have to, you know, I have schedules for everything. I have all kinds of stuff going on, and my brain is so aware of it. And yet, these little things escape our awareness. You know, where did I put the cap? Anyway, just interesting. I mean, I remember, I think, putting it on the end, but it's obviously not there. Well, it'll have to remain a mystery for a short period of time. I don't even think these crayons dry out, so frankly, the cap is just to prevent it from getting on other things, I think, so maybe I'll live without it. But, you know, I would like to find it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. That's your problem, frankly. My problem. All right, so enough of a video. And such. Yeah, just disappointed that you just cannot find anyone capable of making arguments, physics arguments. They're just nobody capable of doing it in any kind of procedural, reasonable way. Let's take two competing theories and try to figure out which one makes more sense. And no one's capable of doing that. Anyway, so till the next time. Such. I think that's all there is. Yep. Shorter video. This has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Thank you for viewing it and contemplating it in hopefully some fair manner, the content in the videos. And it would be nice if you in some way... I know. A lot of you are just casually in this conversation, and so you really don't have any capacity to make judgments or to argue because you really didn't go to reality school, and so you don't know that all of this stuff has everything to do with your existence. You think all the other cartoons you watch and the bullshit you get caught up, you think that's reality when this is actually the only real subject there is the physics of your function and getting it right. And there's no warp speed, and there's no entanglement, and there's no, all that horseshit is just horseshit. You're just a robot. Beep, beep, boop, boop. That's all that's happening.